Hello to our lovely practitioners and world changers. Welcome to the quarterly Get Thrive Practitioner webinar. We have both groups here today. We've got our first group, and then we've got our group that's just finishing now. And so I love that we can all be together. And I'm sorry we're a couple of minutes late. I had some technical difficulties. But we're here now and excited. And so there's just a few. When I'm looking here, there's just about a handful of you on. We've graduated another five of you this week. We are thrilled. I'm very happy to hear. Okay, and I want to celebrate for a second. I want to say, Mohan, you're approved for certification. This is so great. Hope Helbrecht. Hope I said your last name right. Gabriella Negro, you have been approved for certification. Mandy Bastieri, Nicole Pierce. Okay, lots of you guys graduating. We're so proud of you. Okay, this is a deep dive to heal the gut, and I want you to view yourselves as way showers. Really, truly, way showers to the way forward, the way to properly heal. And we can talk about anything you want to talk about today. These webinars are for you. So if you want to come on and speak and go over a case study and share the details and get my help, just raise your hand. You can come on camera. You'll go through a mic check, you'll go through a video check, and you'll come on camera. If you want to share lab work, that's great. If you want to talk about the business aspect of this, that's great too. Whatever it is that I can help you with today, because when I say that I really want to see you see yourself as a way shower for the future, if, think about you being in a gastroenterology office, right? And training doctors who are helping people heal their gut in a way that's just not as effective, not even remotely as effective as the way that you can help, right? And so I want to help you see as many people, help as many people. And if that is working on the business aspect of things, we can certainly talk about that. So let me know on the chat. The chat's open. I see that there's 12 of you here. Okay, 40 something coming on, but no one's chatted yet. So let me know where you're tuning in from and just tell us what's new and good, and also tell us what's challenging. We really want to hear about it. And any feedback that it really is that you want to share. We can talk about niching down today. We can talk about really working with specific autoimmune populations, Crohn's, colitis, fibromyalgia. There's any kind of specialty that you can go into, whether that's Hashimoto's or Graves. I just thought since autoimmune disease is on really such the rise that it might be nice for us to discuss that and to discuss really how to talk about this work in different ways so that you can understand when somebody comes to you, you'll be able to meet them on their level and explain, okay, here's what's been going on, right? Graves or Hashimoto's, it's like your thyroid has been really working against the wind, and start to explain how pathogens in the gut really adversely affect the thyroid and either drive it up or drive it down based upon genetics, based upon specific physiology and the regular pattern. Hi, Yvonne. I'm so glad you're here. We've got Yvonne from SoCal, our nurse. I would love for you to come on and tell me how things have gone since we last talked. You were on camera, I believe, last time when we went with Jack deep over your case study. We also have a Yvonne in Canada who's doing really well. Okay. Nobody, is everybody feeling shy today? This is like your time to shine, guys. Come on camera, and we can like talk with me either. But it got me thinking. about something I wanted to share because I got through it in like 3 days. And I think all of us, a lot of us maybe felt like we had had COVID before we knew what COVID was. Like I had the worst cough and congestion in my throat that lasted for like a month. And it was because I was going through a lot of personal stress. This was back in 2019. And then it started really landing me every time I got sick after that with a terrible cough, right? And then my lungs became my weak spot. And so I started taking N-acetylcysteine and I started taking 900 milligrams of that for 6 months. And then I moved it up and I bumped it up to a year. And so just something that I want you to know about, and it didn't land in my lungs. It was like body aches, headache, and flatline exhaustion, although I couldn't really rest because I have a 4.5-year-old as a single mom. But you know, I was really pleasantly surprised that it didn't land in my lungs. And I really attribute that to N-acetylcysteine. So that's something that's in the orthoimmune product that we've mentioned before. Like when you're working with COVID, that's the most incredible product. It's got quercetin to lower the body-wide inflammation set point. It's got ascorbic acid, which is clinically studied to be the most effective form of vitamin C with lowering your viral load when it comes to COVID attaching to the ACE2 receptors, the protein receptors in the gut. I got no gut symptoms, right? And none of you should either if you've done Gut Thrive. But you're going to see people come to you, and if their gut's thrashed and they don't know about it, like COVID will hit them in their gut. And so it's also got N-acetylcysteine and it's got zinc, right? And so my taste is coming back. All is starting to work out, but it's a testament, right? And so N-acetylcysteine will help regenerate, rejuvenate, and help to repair the lungs when taken for a longer period of time. So I just wanted you to know about that. If you've got people that come to you and they're self-prescribed long haulers, or whenever they get sick, something lands in the lungs, you know, this program, when you rejuvenate the microbiome of the gut, it's also going to replicate a rejuvenated microbiome to the lungs, but you may need additional N-acetylcysteine. So you may need like 1800 milligrams for 2 months, and then you can drop down to 900 milligrams, and you can do that for up to 6 or 9 months. And then of course it also works on the liver, and it helps the liver produce more of its own glutathione, the master antioxidant. Now, because I did not have my holistic arsenal with me, with my parents in New Jersey, I Amazon primed a couple things to me, but before then I had to take Tylenol. Tylenol prevents glutathione recycling. And so you're going to need to repair that if you're going to take something like that. And so these are questions that you really want to ask. You know, we've talked about NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and how people take those and that they can lead to leaky gut, allowing the pathogenic invasion and all of that. So if someone's taken ibuprofen, Advil, right, on a regular basis for any extended period of time, you're going to have to do more work to heal the gut dysbiosis. But you also want to ask on your intake forms about Tylenol, like how many times a month do they take Tylenol? Because then you'll know, huh, maybe I should add N-acetylcysteine in to their program. Or if you want to go for a straight shot, like I always like to give the body the directive. So give N-acetylcysteine, allow the liver to produce the glutathione it wants to produce. But if you're not doing that, then you could give them liposomal glutathione and they will feel a lot better, definitely during step two as they're going through a pathogen purge. So that's just something from my own health experience I wanted to pass along. Okay, Yvonne's getting settled. Come on in a minute. Tracy, I'm at work. I can't be on video. My main question is, after Gut Thrive and 5 neurological supplements and after 3 to 4 months of Terraforming, a client is still dealing with some bloating. What would you recommend to do next? Another round of a mini pathogen purge. Is this a plan S person? Because two things are coming to my mind. You're going to continue Terraforming and you're going to use the TerraBiome. You're going to use soil-based probiotic at a low dose, the dose to bloating. And then I would add in 1,500 milligrams of berberine split in two doses. Yeah, Plan S, I figured. Okay, so you're going to 1,500 milligrams of berberine for 21 days and see what that does for the bloat, and then start to increase the TeraBiome after that. But you also want to increase their carbs, their whole food roots and fruits, because since so much of SIBO these days, especially she's on the neurological supplements and she still has bloating, then we want to add some more carbs because there could be some hypothyroid-induced SIBO that's continuing to cause the bloating. You've removed the gut and immunological burden now. So I don't know that I would do a whole nother mini round of a pathogen purge. I would do 3 weeks of berberine, then the TeraBiome, and whatever he or she is eating, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever whole food carb they're eating, whether it's a sweet potato or butternut squash or beets or a fruit, have them increase by 2 to 3 tablespoons. Got to do this slow, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and see how that goes. And then write into our clinical team after, I'd say 1 month. So do the berberine 3 weeks, and then I want to see them on the higher dose of the TeraBiome or the TeraFlora. Both are soil-based probiotics, for a week, and then write in and let us know how they're doing. I mean, the bloating might be completely gone by then, and with that additional carbs. And if they're still bloated from there, then we may do another like mini pathogen purge for Plan S at half the dose for another like 3 weeks. But I don't think you're probably going to need that. Okay. Good question. Is it just like, okay, more people are here now, but you're not writing in. You got to be active, got to be interactive. That's what these webinars are for. So I want to see your faces. I want to answer your questions, your comments, your concerns. How is it going? For our veterans who graduated last year, like how many clients are you seeing and how's it going with them? Okay, I see here our request to speak. Yvonne's coming on. I'm trying to think, you know, when I look at our clinical customer service for our regular gut thrivers, like what are people dealing with? Because really, since COVID, we've got this whole new round of things that people are dealing with that are becoming these like chronic low-lying symptoms. And exhaustion is certainly one of them. And so we are recommending adrenal glandulars. I love Adrenal. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi.
And just going to finish this thought real quick. I'm recommending Adrenal, which is an adrenal glandular that also has licorice root, not recommended for high blood pressure, but everything else, it's fine. And then it's got all of the different adaptogens that work on the immune system, on the thyroid, on the stress hormones, all of it. So you're going to need holy basil, ginseng, ashwagandha, and rhodiola all in one with licorice root with the adrenal glandular, and having them do 1 to 2 of those upon waking and then mid-morning is helping a lot of people overcome long haul as we help them heal their lungs in tandem with the rest of this. So, okay, Yvonne, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
You are? Good.
Yes. Thanks for asking. I'm glad you're doing well also.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel like maybe a rite of passage that I've been through now. Yeah. Have you had COVID?
Yes, I have.
You have. Okay.
I did. I had it at the beginning of the year and it wasn't, you know, bad. I had everything that I needed. So everything was fine. So I was very actually thankful to have it because now I know it's like, it's no big deal. So as long as you know, get yourself taken care of at the beginning, I think that is really important. Like early treatment, early, you know, supporting the body. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. I agree with you as well. Yeah. So tell me, how's it going?
Well, I do have two different client questions. So I thought this is perfect. You know, I forgot about these quarterly ones that we still have access to. So I was glad to be able to do this.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the first one. And we have talked about him in the past. 57-year-old, Plan H, history of Barrett's esophagus, acid reflux, skin rashes. And pretty much his health is healthy other than that issue. So it was all gut related.
So what kind of skin rashes are we talking? Is it eczema, psoriasis?
No, it was like on his forehead. He said if certain foods would trigger it and they would get like little tiny bumps and like white pustules in there. And it was always triggered with if he had like a really bad bout of reflux or if he ate certain foods like dairy, mainly dairy and spicy foods would trigger it. And but it would go away and then it would come back and then it would go away and then it would come back. Mm-hmm. And he also noticed stress would trigger it also.
Right.
So for years, that's been going on for like 10 years for him, along with the acid reflux part has dramatically increased over the past 2 years, but he's had the acid reflux problem for, I'd say, around 10 years also. He also has hiatal hernia. So that was the other thing that was diagnosed. When he got his upper GI done in 2021, that's when the Barrett's esophagus was diagnosed, and then the hiatal hernia he already knew about. He knew he had a hiatal hernia from a previous time when he had ulcers when he was younger.
What did he do about it? Because I remember Jack counseling on that the last right. time you.
Well, what we ended up doing, because I think the question that I had asked last time was because he was starting to get pain over his liver, and it wasn't acid reflux, it was pain. And at that time we talked about, he was ending the transition. He was on his starting the receding, right when he was starting the receding phase. Mm-hmm. And we started him back up on the GI support and soothe. And then, and I don't have my notes in front of me, I apologize, but I'm going off memory. So restarted him on that, supported his, you know, detoxification. He wasn't willing to do the coffee enema because that was one of the recommendations. He was stooling 2 to 3 times a day. Stooling wasn't a problem.
Formed?
Yes, formed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was doing sauna. He was doing tongue brushing. He was doing hydration. And then the castor oil packs. He was doing that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he wasn't, I mean, he was doing all that. He just wasn't willing to do the coffee enema part. It's fine. I told him, that's fine. You're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing. Fun. Is it infrared sauna or was it a regular sauna?
Infrared.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, at the point Jack had recommended that he slow down because the metabolic waste was obviously hitting his liver a little mm-hmm. bit more. Mm-hmm. He wasn't willing to slow down. He's like, I'm doing this. You know, he had a very determined drive to get through the program, and the pain did subside. Now, though, what we're running into, and I know this is a whole, you know, adrenal, you know, he's having issues with sleep. And he says he can fall asleep right away, but he's waking up. Mm-hmm. And then when he wakes up, he can't go back to sleep. So yeah. Obviously his cortisol is up and so forth. So I was just wondering if, you know, going ahead and recommending the L-theanine, you know, with the PSP, is that the name of that one product?
PS, phosphatidylserine.
Yeah, I can't remember the big long name. So, yep. But just something else to help support him. I mean, he's done with the program per se. He's in the 80-20 now.
Okay.
But we're still communicating and, you know, I'm just trying to help, you know, help him with other issue. But I, being that I've never taken anybody through this before, I know, you know, doing the Gut Thrive program is going to help shift things, but I'm sure other things are going to kind of be a little bit off kilter for a while and just, you know, a way to support that process.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that at this point, maybe he would be open to talking about his rest patterns in general, because mm-hmm. I think that's what got him in trouble. Oh, like yeah. The more that we stress, the more that we're secreting hydrochloric acid when we don't need it to digest right. our food, the more we're creating that leaky gut, like of the stomach, right? And so that's probably the, one of the root causes that allowed the H. pylori to come in and take root in the first place. So even though you handled the pathogen part with thoughts and emotions and patterning and the way that we drive ourselves with stress, you don't want them to drive himself right back in there. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think that's where there's a good health coaching conversation that's like, okay, what is it that's stressing you? And like, this is where when you're dealing with men, I think that we have a responsibility as women because our culture just has not allowed men to feel, to process emotions, right? It's like why we have such a high divorce rate. We're not blaming the men. Like it's just no one really taught them that. So they store a lot more than we do, right? You cry tears and you're releasing stress hormones when they study them. And so the men are holding in these stress hormones and just dealing with it. So I think that's a really root cause approach is to talk to him about ways to handle that and emotional freedom technique and all of that. Or you decide, like understanding his personality, that yeah, he needs phosphatidylserine at night, but I like the product Adrenovive so much by Ortho Molecular, and that's got all of the adaptogens in it. Because it's like you don't want to just use phosphatidylserine, which is going to bind to high cortisol and pull it down. It probably will help with the 1 to 3 or 1 to 4 a.m. wakings, but you want to start to shift the pattern and the adverse effects on the thyroid. Like ashwagandha is going to help support the thyroid and the adrenals, and rhodiola, right, is going to clinically start to support the neurotransmitters in the brain.
Okay. And this product has all that in there?
All of it in one. Yeah. It's called Adrenovive, A-D-R-E-N-E-V-I-V-E. And so having him take, you got to start it early. It's not just like, oh, before bed. I would say take one with dinner. Okay. Because, you know, he's going to start to shift his circadian rhythm. So start to then wind down, but he's got to do the other things. Like don't be checking email and stressing and running or doing any of that stuff. Start to build this wind down in. And I mean, we're also addicted to technology. So trying to get off of that, you know, at least 30 minutes before bed, if not an hour before bed, and like reading something soothing or doing something non-tech based that's soothing for him. Take a shower, right? Do his castor oil packs.
We have discussed that, and he does really good with that end of it. I think the only thing that he's doing that might be too stimulated is he watches TV up until the time he goes to bed.
Yeah. And what's he watching? Is he watching the news? Right. You know what I mean?
I know, right?
Your stress hormone. Exactly. So just asking him to that, like maybe it's 30 minutes, right? Okay. And it's read something, write something, stretch, just do something else. And so a lot of times it's just patterns and habits, and it feels so awkward and you just don't even know what to do with yourself. But moon bathing is helpful. Mm. You know, my son and I will say, no, we're not going to watch something before bed. Right. And I can see his whole continent shift. I say, we're going to go look at the stars and we're going to have a snack or tea or something like that. And so having him, now that he's finished with a program, you know, he could do, an adrenal healing creamsicle before bed. Okay. He could do a mug of bone broth with ghee and collagen and a piece of fruit before bed, or he could do our salty cashew banana. So you would just kind of have to say, okay, is this an adrenal? Is this stress? Or is it a low serotonin issue? Right. Cause we use the banana cashew snack for low serotonin issues. So having a snack, you know, taking his Adrenovive, you can add in for sure L-theanine. And does he present with anxiety? Because PharmaGABA is just magic for that.
Yeah, no, not so much anxiety. His history is law enforcement, obviously. You know, he's prime as to why he got where he is, but he's retired. He works part-time now, and he kind of does, like, he calls it the easy stuff, you know, compared to where he was when he retired, because he was up there on the ranks. So no, I didn't see any anxiety present in him.
Okay.
Not that he's told me about or that I've noticed, you know, but yeah. I can double check.
Yeah. It'd be good just to ask him about it. I mean, there's no shame in admitting it. And it's just, if you say there's a product, I'm trying to figure out if your GABA's low. I mean, you could always run a, Dutch panel or metabolites in urine to look at his brain chemistry and look at GABA. But if you don't want to do that, PharmaGABA at 100 milligrams is a pretty safe dose for like 8 weeks.
Okay. Pharma GABA. I think I saw that in the handout somewhere along the line. Okay.
Yeah. PharmaGABA. Thorn makes a great one. It's got to be small molecule so it can pass the blood brain barrier. But if you do the Adrenaviv and the theanine and he's still not completely sleeping through the night, then add GABA in, add the snack in. And then what he does first thing in the morning is crucial. Okay. So is he eating breakfast within an hour of waking? Because whatever you do then is going to set up your sleep profile for the evening.
Yeah, I know that was a whole new change for him because he never used to eat. But with the program, yes, he did have a snack in the morning. I wouldn't say he's compliant with our time frame. He might, 2 hours after waking up. So I'll re-implement, and tell him to try to get closer to that hour time frame.
Okay. So this is have him make an adrenal creamsicle the night before.
Okay.
And just drink it first thing upon waking. Because for people who have no appetite, just drink it first thing upon waking. It'll change their evening.
Okay. So you can do that in the AM. Okay. That's good to know. All right. So I'll have him do that. Now the other thing, his acid reflex has improved, his skin rash has improved, but it's still there. And he's gotten very well at learning which triggers are, like certain things that he's doing. Obviously, if he eats something wrong, because he said he had like fried something the other day and it just, really, really hit him hard. He had really bad acid reflex from it. So, other than when he eats those bad things, he's okay. Nothing like it was before. So obviously the healing process is still taking place because of everything with the Barrett and so forth. He is doing the GI support still. And I just told him just to get another bottle.
Good.
Continue that. Is there any other recommendation?
Well, I was going to say that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He should stay on that for another couple of months. The GI support.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like our internet is going a little wonky.
Oh, it might be my
end. Give me 1 second just to check my battery and all that, see if it's me.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I think I'm fine. And hopefully you guys can see and hear me okay.
Can you
hear me okay, Yvonne?
I can hear you. I can see your screen is kind of blurry. It's kind of blurring in and out. But
can
I
can hear me
fine. Yes. Nope. Maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on here. I'm on my... Give me one more second.
Can you hear us or can you hear me? Uh-oh.
Okay. All right. Hopefully that's okay.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
How about now?
I can hear you.
Can you give me one more second?
Can you hear me?
Really seems to be all right. Fine on my end. So, all right. So let me say this. He should be taking, he suffered for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. So we get marked improvement in 5 months. That's huge. Okay. It's been 5 months or 4 months?
Pretty much 4 months.
Four months. So by the fifth month, he'll probably whatever improvement he's gotten will double with the GI support and soothe. But he should always take the food sensitivity support, our food sensitivity support every time before he eats out.
Okay.
And I still get the sense that there's old molecules that need to be cleaned up of food sensitivities because of the rash. So I would do one more round of that as we lay out in step one with the GI support and soothe, and then just have him keep it just to take it always before he eats out, no matter what, because it'll pulverize the proteins in 11 different foods.
Okay. So you're saying to use the GI support and wait, no, I'm sorry. The food sensitivity, that one, you want him to do another round of that one.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I wasn't sure. He said he still had leftovers of the proteolytics. Is that something that can continue or just save him for?
I mean, I don't know that he would need it.
Okay.
I think we're more want to work on the food sensitivity support than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So food sensitivity, another round. Okay. Got it. So GI support and the food sensitivity. He's still doing he's gotten such a habit of doing the hydrochloric acid, you know, doing the vinegar and the lemon. Yeah. And that was another real big improvement. In fact, I talked to I did my presentation yesterday, and I was telling Jack that that was huge for him, because before, at the very beginning of the program, when he was doing the morning apple cider vinegar, it burned his stomach really, really bad. But now when he got towards the HCL challenge, he was able to tolerate that. So that showed, that was an improvement there.
Yeah. So, and that will get better and better over time. Now, he doesn't necessarily need to stay on the apple cider vinegar and the lemon water.
Okay.
He can just do it intuitively. And is he doing that first thing upon waking?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In the morning.
Have you been through our Adrenal Recode mini course at all?
I started taking it, but I have not finished it. I think I only got through like two of the program parts
of the videos.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a login to it, you can download the handout. We've got a morning elixir.
Okay.
That we'll do, and it's got ginger powder that will be good for him, but also has got raw honey in it, and so he can switch to that, and then we refill his glycogen stores as soon as he wakes up. That's what we want to do for the sleep at night. And so then it's just intuitively doing the apple cider vinegar, or just starting to use it on food, right? Lemon and ACV is part of your salad dressing and things like that.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I'll go back and look at that information. Yeah. Right when I didn't get to finish that program because this program started. So my goal is to get over there and start learning more from that. It sounds like great information. Okay.
Great.
So that was mainly it with him. Now with my other client, she's 45, diabetic. She was the one that was on PPIs for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember me talking about her in some of our studies. She's done with the program, although she's having sleep issues again. So this will help me with her as far as this kind of information. We went over the basics as far as the sleep hygiene, ways to prep yourself before sleep and all that stuff.
Right.
Stress is a big thing for her. So we have talked a lot about that. And but her blood sugars, before, she's the one who did, she's on Plan H also. She actually did the Gut Thrive, the online version of it a year ago. And at that time she had great results with her A1C and her blood sugars and so forth. Her A1C this time actually did very well also. She was at 7.8. And I think she said she got herself down to 6.1. So that was a great, improvement. But right now she says she's really having a hard time getting her blood sugars to regulate. She says she can't get them below 200. And just, I know her sleep hygiene has a lot to do with that, because she's just not sleeping well at all. And so we talked a lot in depth there. I just didn't know if there was any other thing that I could do to, really help support that process with her blood sugars and so forth.
I think you should get an account with Ortho Molecular because I keep bringing up their products. Okay. So they've got an incredible product called Diaxanol.
Okay.
I see it's on Amazon now. It's really expensive. They don't sell on Amazon anymore. That's probably why. But so it's got 3,000 mcgs of biotin and 800 mcgs of chromium picolinate. Is she on chromium?
No, I don't think so.
So really basic. Very basic blood sugar balance. If you didn't want to put her on this, is like she could do a teaspoon of Ceylon cinnamon first thing in the morning. That'll help regulate glucose for 24 hours. And then she can do 200 mcgs of chromium picolinate with each meal. And that'll have a marked improvement within 6 weeks. So the studies show that. But this Diaxanol has chromium, biotin, alpha-lipoic acid, cinnamon bark, and vanadyl sulfate hydrate. And so that's a product that I had great success with. Okay. I mean, you've already done the work. She's already done the work in Gut Thrive to shift her Firmicutes and Bacteroides and the sugar producing bacteria. So that's huge. And now it's stabilizing the glucose levels. But, and then the other thing I was just thinking about is, you know, toxicity and insulin receptors, you know, that's something to really kind of look at, the quality of the water she's drinking, arsenic in anything but pasture-raised chicken bones, rice, you know, just helping her navigate things that clog and block insulin receptors that are kind of sneaky.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned about getting the account with Ortho Molecular. Mm-hmm. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a registered nurse. So I don't know. Do you know what their qualifications are? Is that okay to ask this question here?
Sure, I think it's fine. I would imagine doctors, nurses, PAs can all get accounts with them.
Okay. Because I know certain ones I've been able to get, like Pure Encapsulation, I was able to get a wholesale account with them. But one of those I tried to, and they said that I wasn't able to. I didn't have my, you know, I wasn't a dietitian or a nutritionist or a doctor, but I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, hopefully if it's not, I mean, you can always look up these products and find similar ones, or you'd have to piecemeal a couple of different formulas together.
Okay.
But I think you should be fine with them.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it for now. I want to allow them to have their time. So thank
you. All right. I see some other questions. Good to see you as always. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on. It makes it so much more fun.
Oh, yes. I agree.
All right. Take care. I'm proud of you. Congratulations. And thanks for, you know, working so hard at this.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed it.
Good. All right. Bye, Tom. All right. Miss Tracy, if a client has pets, dogs, rabbits at home, should they utilize a sludgy cocktail more often after the program for maintenance, or any other recommendations? Yeah, we've got a blog. Like, if you sleep with your dog or your cat, right, you could have parasites, or how kissing them. Like my dog, I found a dead rabbit mouth the other day, you know. I'm like, oh great. So once a year is always good, kind of general maintenance to do the sludgy cocktail, but to also, you can do or if you eat sushi on a regular basis, you can also do the VRM. So you could look at Plan P, and if you'll see in Plan P, we use the VRM 1 and the VRM 3, and we use that in step 1. So you could follow the way that we use those two formulas and do the sludgy cocktail simultaneously and just finish the one bottle of each and then do the sludgy cocktail for like 3 weeks once a year, and then just follow it up with GI support and soothe. But of course, if you have a full blown parasitic infection, you would do the full blown Plan P. Okay. Stephanie, one of my case studies has been sick multiple times while on the program. She paused the supplements during these sicknesses. You have to, you just don't feel like taking supplements when you're sick. She's just made it to 11 enzymes on the HCL challenge. Okay. She shouldn't be taking full enzymes though. I think you're just talking about the HCL pills. That's too many enzymes, and that will have a counter effect, right? You don't want to tell the digestive organs they don't have to work at all. And it hasn't hit her max yet. She was sensitive to MBC. We switched to Terraflora, which she tolerates well. Great. Always write in, guys, with the plan that they're on so it can help me get more specifics. So I'm wondering if this is Plan P. Would you recommend she take NBC at a lower dose after she finishes her bottle of Terraflora? She's going to tap out at 12 HCLs for another 3 to 4 days. And if she doesn't get the burn, she can stay there and she could do the ginger pickle. And when she finishes the Terra Flora, I would do half of an MBC. Yes, let's try half of an MBC 3 times in a row. If that causes bloating, then just completely switch to Terra Flora and just keep running Terra Flora for 30 days after that. So Miss Stephanie, you also have a huge success to share. You have endometriosis and now have 2 manageable periods. That's incredible for me. Great. You're usually bedridden. I love to hear this. I absolutely love to hear this. I'm sure if it was Gut Thrive that helped or if the neurological supplements made a big improvement there. It is a combination of both, but honestly, the proteolytic enzymes, they eat up foreign proteins in the body. And so that really helps when it just to clean up the uterus. And if you've had fibroids or anything that was contributing to causing that, that can be really helpful and supportive. And always write into us if it comes back, because there's one specific for endometriosis called Neprenol. It's awesome, by Arthur Anderson. Great fertility product too, to clean up the uterus before getting pregnant. Wherever it was, I sure hope to stay on this path of feeling better. That's where I really want you to understand it, right? So you've shifted your gut bacteria and you've cleaned up foreign proteins. You've processed them out through the bowel. So I expect you to live on your 80-20 and feel better. You have 80 pounds to shed. I'm thinking I may need to run some labs to see what's going on in the background. Would you suggest anything specific for labs to run? Any ideas on decreasing the weight? Well, you want to run full thyroid panel, right? So we're looking at T3 and T4. You're good with conversion, but you want a free T3, TSH, of course. And you want to look at your thyroid antibodies and TPO, thyroid peroxidase, to see what's going on. And I would also look at reverse T3 so we can see how your adrenals are doing, because the adrenals and the thyroid are a team. And then run a full spectrum hormone panel. Look at pregnenolone, look at DHEA, because if those are low, it's going to be really hard to lose weight. And then definitely progesterone we want to look at. Let's look at estrogen and see if that's high. And now we can manage everything that way and support your thyroid, adrenals, all the way through your sex hormones. But you may want to consider doing the Adrenal Recode program. That's like the women's health program for balancing, if you wanted to do it using only food. We do food alone, and what we do is force you into parasympathetic dominance. And so that's when you can start losing weight on your own there. So a couple different paths. And then you can expect to lose 6 to 8 pounds a week from there, right? I'm sorry, a month. I didn't want to be overzealous. 6 to 8 pounds a month is sustainable weight loss. So we're opening up the fat cells and we're allowing toxins to release as we're losing weight in a healthy way. Then we're shrinking those fat cells. Okay. Hi, Elena. My case is on Plan H, 46-year-old female. Her periods are being irregular after starting the HCL challenge, her bloody discharge, for a full month. She's concerned her cycle's in sync with the cycle of the moon. Now she's got these unwanted symptoms. A holistic health coach, eats clean, sleeps well, meditates, manages stress, exercises. Unusual for her. What are your thoughts on this? So my thoughts are that she knows her own body best, and so she should stop the HCL challenge, and she can just tonify with one more round. She's very sensitive, right? So this is causing too much stress on her system. Maybe 3-5% of people have this, not many. But she knows her own system. So stop the HCL challenge. And this would be someone that maybe she just does the ginger pickle. And she does the ginger pickle before her 2 largest meals, like lunch and dinner. And that might be enough for her to balance out her HCL. And then you could up her B vitamins. You could do a B complex to help. And that should pop her cycle really right back. Okay. Plan H, Stephanie. Oh, I see. The HCL challenge hasn't hit her. She's on Plan H. And this one was sensitive. She's on Plan H. Then my only change of my recommendation is she can go up to 14 HCL pills. If she doesn't get the burn after that, we'll just start taking it down. Okay. All right. Do you recommend lab test for H. pylori? Yeah. I mean, for H. pylori, you have three options. You can do a stool test, you can do a breath test, or you can do a blood test. And because it can be a sneaky little guy, I like to always run two of those three tests. And so I would probably say the breath and the blood test. I like to hack my stool test. If you're going to do a stool test, you'd have to hack it, which means I want like a 6-day sample, and most of them only go up to 3 days. So let's say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, she collects a stool sample. Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, she puts a new one back in the other bottles, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday bottle, and then, you know, puts it in the fridge or the freezer and then mails it off on Monday. Okay. All right, friends. We have 10 minutes to go. Anybody else have any questions, or should we end early? Like, are we just doing such a great job answering our clinical tickets? And are these people just like thriving so much? I don't know. What labs do I use? The GI protocol, the GI maps. If you're going to do a stool test, any primary care physician can do the blood test. You know, if you go to LabCorp or you go to Quest, can do that. And a PCP can do the breath test, or, we'd look on, direct labs for there. That's what we would recommend. You know, we're not in private practice anymore, so we're not actually running these labs. But we'll recommend you from, direct labs to do their H. pylori test. If you wanted to do an at-home test, you know, the breath test. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anything else? Final questions, comments, concerns? I'm so excited for all of you seeing all these people get their lives back. Like, just sit there for a minute and imagine if you never met these people, like what trajectory would their life go down? Because if you don't have your health, you don't have anything else. So really sit there and look at the difference that you've made, and that you'll continue to make in the lives of others. And we're so grateful that you're here. We're so grateful that you've trusted us, and that you had the courage to do it, right? I mean, I'm sure that was really scary with the first meeting with your case study. And like, we always hear imposter syndrome, but this is how you really become that expert. And these people, all of these people are just like a world in and of themselves that really is teaching you so much in clinical practice. So thank you so much for being here, everybody. We will see you on the next webinar, and we're here to support you through email.